Next, I want to read to you a message from a Muslim friend who actually listens to the radio for a few months now. I don't know his name exactly. He never signs. But last Saturday, he wrote to you during the broadcast, and he said that the Islam doesn't condemn the Christians but the infidels. And we answered him. And then he wrote to us again, and I want to read to you his message, which he wrote again. The message says, my opinion is that somebody puts us one against each other. They want the Christians and the Muslims to be in conflict with each other. I am sure that the religions need to learn to respect each other and that they can do it. A few weeks ago, you, Brother Joseph, talked about the people who rape the young girls, and that such a person needs to be stoned. And you are saying that all those who do such things is not worthy to stay alive. That's exactly what I mean. People who do these things are the true unbelievers, and that's what the Islam is against. And against this such of people, Joseph is saying, I'm talking about when I made such statements, I was talking about people who don't want to repent. If you don't want to repent, then you go under the law, the Mosaic law. When there is no repentance, I agree that you have to go to the death row, basically. Somebody who's outside of the faith, he doesn't repent, and he needs to have the death punishment. In the New Testament, Romans 13 says to be afraid of the magistrate that comes with a sword. Okay? If you repent, then it's good. But if you don't repent, you're going to be in trouble. The message continues. Don't you see how the Satanists are having a good time while we, the religious people, we kill each other? Like in any religion, the majority are not true believers. They don't believe really in God. Many Islamics, Muslims, are not true believers, just like many Christians and Hebrews are not true believers. And these guys are the instruments of the instruments of Satan. The true infidels are the Satanists and the atheists, who are evil and without any scruples. The totalitarian systems, they don't like religions. And it's the system that makes us kill each other and hate each other. If you don't read all the Quran and all the Bible and put it together, after me, my opinion is that taking verses and taking them out of context, taking the scriptures out of context, it's a bad method, and then you don't understand the all that's going on around it. So Joseph is saying, so basically me or other people cannot take a scripture and talk about it. I need to read everything. First of all, I want to tell you, says Joseph, God bless you. I wish all the Muslims and the ISIS were like you, that we can talk peacefully together. But I want to tell you this, concerning reading the scriptures out of context, I want to tell you this. The context of the Quran is very clear, okay? Let's read from the Quran. Sahih Bukhari 9:57, the Quran says, this is a quote from the Quran. Surah 6:152, a Muslim can kill any person who he desires if it's for the right cause. And Sahih al-Bukhari 9:57 says, whoever denies his Islamic religion, kill him. Basically, if you say, I don't want to go to the Catholic Church anymore, to death. This is what the Quran says. Let's see if these scriptures are out of context. Let's see if there are the scriptures that change the scriptures we read before. I invite you to contradict me to what I'm saying. If you read all the Quran, you never read in the Quran that these commandments which we just read are abolished. They're never abolished. It says that the Quran needs to be obeyed to the letter. Without even a blink of the eye, you have to obey it. Otherwise, if you put it in discussion and cause doubts about it, it's the penalty of death. You know that the Quran doesn't give the possibility to anybody to repent. The gospel is the opposite. The gospel gives the possibility to the guilty one to repent and to change. Read Matthew 18:21, John chapter 8. Matthew 18:21, it says, if somebody repents 70 times 7, you forgive him all the time. If he repents, you forgive him 2 times, 3 times, 5 times, even 70 times 7. You forgive him always if he repents. Quran says the opposite. You make a mistake, we kill you. We make a mistake, we stone you. There is no repentance in the Quran. The true God who created us, it's love and forgiveness, in contrast with the Quran. God is not so much interested in killing the guilty, but He's interested that the guilty repents, okay? That's what's important. God sent a Savior. He sent a Savior to help us to repent and to get redeemed. That's what God is interested in. The false God says he is wrong, kill him. And the true God says he is wrong, forgive him if he repents. Jesus is the true shepherd. He's more interested in forgiving, even if he has to die on the cross for your sins. He's more interested in that than to punish you. We kill the guilty, or shall we guide them to repentance so they can change and be better? Paul was persecuting the Christians, was killing Christians. He repented and he became Paul. Mahomet doesn't give you this opportunity like what Paul had. Eye for eye and tooth for a tooth is not the solution, because we're all sinners. We examined a little bit the Quran, some scriptures from the Quran. We quoted some of them. Let's examine now the context of the Bible. The Islamics excuse the wars of the Quran because they say that even in the Bible, God allowed wars. But let me tell you, there is a difference, and there is a big difference between the wars in the Bible and the Quran. It's true that God allowed Moses and Joshua to fight wars, but we need to specify that they were against the people from the Promised Land. But it's because these people, these nations, would have destroyed Israel. It's just like today, the Islamic nations would like to erase the Jews and Israel from the map, from the world. And they promised that they would do it. The Canaanites were pagan nations, and they wanted to destroy Israel like Islam wants to do it today. The Canaanites, they were very bad. They were killing their children. They were sacrificing it to the idols. They were drinking their blood. That's why God condemned them, just like he did with Sodom and Gomorrah, and also during Noah's time, during the flood. That's the difference. Deuteronomy 12:31. Let's read it. Thou shalt not do so unto the Lord thy God, For every abomination to the Lord which he hateth, have they done unto their gods. For even their sons and their daughters they have burned in the fire to their gods. That's Deuteronomy 12:31. So basically, these were the nations whom were destroyed, okay? God allowed the destruction of these kind of nations. They were killing their sons and daughters. They were burning them in the fire to their gods. So there was no hope to convert them. They were cruel. There was no hope for them to repent. Let's read Leviticus 18:23-28. Neither shall thou lie with any beast to defile yourself therein. Neither shall any man stand before a beast to lie down thereto. It is confusion. These are the nations that God allowed to be destroyed. Verse 24. Defile not yourself in any of these things, for in all these the nations are defiled with. And these nations I will cast out from before you. The land is being defiled. Therefore I do visit the iniquity thereof upon it. And the land itself vomited out her inhabitants. And you shall not commit any of these abominations, neither any of your own nation, nor any stranger that sojourneth among you. For all these abominations have the men of the land done, which were before you, and the land is defiled. That the land spew not you out also, when you defile it, as it spewed out the nations that were before you. Leviticus 18:23-28. It's clear, yes, it's clear. Mahomet, he copied bad the Bible. He left many love scriptures aside. He left many scriptures about love out. So he didn't make a good copy of the Bible. Because he copied the Bible, Mohammed. I would like to tell you that, you know, somebody can take the Quran and do whatever he wants. Because it says you can kill people for the right cause. So you can decide what the right cause is and you do whatever you want. So there is a great difference between the wars which are commanded by the Quran and the wars which God commanded in the Bible. There is no comparison. The wars were allowed just for one little generation, just so they can get the promised land. Okay, those wars were just for the nations that were in the promised land, so Israel can conquer it. And, you know, there were seven nations. You can actually count them on your fingers. There were seven nations. There were seven nations that they had to fight against. That's it, nothing else. And then all through the history of Israel, you can see that they were always defending themselves. They never went around attacking with a desire to conquer. They were attacked by other nations, and then they had to defend themselves. That's it. So there's a big difference between the wars of God in the Bible and the Quran wars. I want to tell you that for me, Islam, it's a politic. It's a politic with the cover of religion. You know, Muslims, the Islam is being propagated by violence, by the sword. If you take the violence out of Islam, there'll be nothing left of it. In Saudi Arabia, they want to vote, they want to drive the car, and they don't let them. The women are always being like slaves in the Islam. In Saudi Arabia, the women are protesting not to be accompanied always by somebody, because as it is right now, the women have to always go around, be accompanied by somebody. Because if they cannot drive the car alone, they cannot do anything alone. It's like a skit, what they are doing. For them, the women are good just one thing, being like a slave. And that's it. Mohammed was just a war guy, but he didn't understand much of the Bible. And the Quran talks about Allah being justice, and Allah the Great, Allah the Just, Allah the Merciful, but merciful, but with who? It says, kill the, there are some scriptures more or less that say, kill the enemies. Allah the Merciful says, kill the enemies. Boy, what a mercy. Persecute them because Allah is just. That's justice. So the wars in the Bible were always for defense, okay? So the wars in the Bible were usually to, for defending themselves. They were against their enemies. One time God sent Saul against Amalek, but that's because Amalek, Exodus 17:8, attacked Israel and fought with Israel. Then came Amalek and fought with Israel in Rephidim. So there were the seven nations destroyed by Joshua in the wars for the conquer of the promised land. And then all the rest were just defensive wars, except Amalek. But also that, it was because Amalek attacked Israel before, Exodus 17:8. All the wars of the Old Testament stopped once the Messiah Christ came. These wars were just few and isolated, but they were all finished in the new law, the law of the New Testament, the love of God and of Christ, when the Messianic era started. Christ is the end of the law, it says in Romans. We are not Messianic or Old Testament people. We are Christians. Our religion is not Moses, but Christ. While Moses was just for a time, a generation, Joshua generation, to go and conquer the promised land. And that was it. Now is the law of Christ around. But the Quran is universal. Quran is universal. Quran is always, it never stopped, and there is always violence. God now says, convert people, help them to repent and convert them. But Islam and the Quran is forever and never changed. It never changed. So there is no comparison between the Bible and the Quran. One last proof I want to give is to tell you this. Try it personally. Do a personal tryout. Pray with all your heart and ask Him to respond to you, to answer you, if the true Savior of God is Christ or Mahomet. Who's the true Savior of God, Christ or Mahomet? Try, do a personal try. Pray and ask yourself, who is the true Savior? Christ is the only way. Try to pray to Mahomet, nothing will happen. Mahomet will not come to answer you. It's not that when you go to heaven, there will be a bunch of virgins waiting for you. Nobody came to say that that happened. There won't be in heaven 72... There won't be in heaven 72 virgins waiting for you. Let's read John 14:6. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me. Jesus says, I am the way. It's not Mahomet or the Quran. God had a son. Mahomet says Allah never had sons. No, he didn't have an earthly son. The Quran says Allah can never have children, but Jesus is the Son of God in the spirit. In the flesh, does the Son of Mary, the Son of Mary, but in the spirit is the Son of God. Do you know that the Quran talks about actually Jesus being the Son of God? You know why? Because it says that Jesus was born of a virgin. And then if he was born of a virgin, Jesus, how was he born? Who made Mary pregnant? It was God Himself spiritually through the Holy Spirit. So in a way, the Quran is actually saying that Jesus is the Son of God, because being born of a virgin is impossible unless God does it supernaturally. John 10:8, All that ever came before me were thieves and robbers, and the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. The way the door is one, Mohammed or Jesus, who is it? Decide who's the truth. Is the truth Mohammed or Jesus? If the truth is not Mohammed, that means you're on the wrong way. You're on the wrong way. Just like the false Protestants, all the false Catholics, and they tell you false doctrines. So be careful, who's the right door, and go through that. Verse 10, the thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. Who gave his life? Mohammed took away lives. Jesus gave it. Jesus gave his life. Jesus gave his life for us. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Verse 12. But he that is an hireling and not a shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming, and leaveth the sheep and fleeth, and the wolf catcheth them and scattereth the sheep. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. If we're sheep of Jesus, we'll hear him. We will not hear Mohammed. He who doesn't hear the voice of Jesus is not a Christian. He's going to go with Mohammed, not in the kingdom of God for sure. He's going to follow Mohammed in another kingdom, not of God. Verse 28, and I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. There is much more to say, but I will stop here. I will stop here concerning this message. God bless you. I read to you a message from Giuseppino. Giuseppino wrote to us and said, Brother Joseph, yesterday I was talking to a Muslim and he told me that Jesus said that it's written in the Bible that Mohammed will come. And this is the scripture he gave me. John 16:7. It says, nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And the Muslims say that the Comforter is Mohammed. So Mohammed will come back. He's saying, well, the Comforter is the Holy Spirit. He is with you now and will be in you. The Holy Spirit, that's the Comforter. That's the Holy Spirit. Where does it say it's Mohammed? It's not written Mohammed here. It's written the Comforter, and that's the Holy Spirit. But it can as well say the Comforter, it's Stalin coming. I mean, we can say anything we want like this. Like this, we can say anybody that is going to come. If these guys interpret the Bible like this, goodbye. It's clear in the Bible that the Comforter is the Holy Spirit. John 15:26. But when the Comforter is come, whom I will send from the Father in my name, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, and from the Father, he shall testify of me. So the Comforter is the Holy Spirit, is not Mohammed. John 14:26 says the same thing. John 14:26. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name. John 14:26 says that the Comforter is the Holy Ghost. I mean, if you basically say this, that the Comforter is the Mohammed and he's going to come like this, you can teach whatever you want. You can teach whatever you want and it's not going to be any problem. I think we shouldn't do this. This is the proof of the Muslims? Mamma mia, God bless them, but God help them to get saved and to get converted. I want to read to you now a testimony of Ibrahim and a conversion of a Muslim to Christianity. Ibrahim wrote to us a few days ago, and he wrote to us, Dear brethren, I want to give you a testimony. I was adopted when I was little from an Italian family, but I am from Tanzania. I grew up in Italy. After many years, I found out that my mother is in Switzerland, my real mother is in Switzerland with my two sisters. I found out that my flesh family, they are in Switzerland and they are Muslims. I respected their choices of being Muslims. But my little sister wrote to me a few days ago, her name is Aisha, and she told me that she met Jesus and that she got converted. And I am so happy my little sister got converted to Jesus. For the moment, my sister told me not to tell anybody this because she's afraid of the reaction of her family. She doesn't know if they will understand her. Wow, how wonderful she got converted. Ibrahim continues, but with time, I know in time Jesus will give her the strength to speak out loud of her conversion. I'm so glad. Now I am exchanging Bible texts with her, and we pray for each other, and I'm so happy for her conversion. I'm so happy that the little soul of my sister belongs to Jesus now. Glory to Jesus. Glory to Jesus who touches the hearts of everybody. Thank you, Jesus, for my sister who got converted. And my sister even wrote a little song in French to Jesus, saying her about her conversion. Praise the Lord. We are happy with you, Ibrahim. We are happy with you. Isn't it amazing how the love of Jesus converts souls much more than all the swords of Islam? God is love. God is love, and love converts us, not the sword converts us. Thank you, Jesus. We love you, Lord.